Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Of course, there's always so much to cover. There always is. If you have a comment, constructive or otherwise, criticism, compliment, whatever, you may reach me, redskyradio777@gmail.com. 777, Red Sky Radio 777@gmail.com. I would like to add a prayer request for the listeners here. We have an opportunity to yet further expand the programming, probably the Sunday morning program, which you have got to hear this weekend. It's entitled Israel, Hamas, and Ziklag. You do not want to miss this. I couldn't do 30 minutes and ever get rid of my goosebumps doing that program. But anyway, our opportunity that's popping up is out of Memphis, Tennessee, on a large station that covers western Tennessee, a bit of southeastern Missouri, northern Mississippi, and eastern Arkansas. So I'm asking God for direction, and with direction I need favor. I think this program is for just such a time as this, and that's what keeps me going. Both programs, for that matter. This program is the political side of biblical topics, and the Sunday morning program is a biblical side of contemporary issues. They complement each other, and you'll have to hear them both, and you'll catch my drift, as they say. I haven't started a program in some time with good news, and I apologize for that because I haven't had a lot of good news to share. I have some today that's kind of weird. But it says this news story that broke about schools bracing for widespread teacher layoffs. Well, first of all, the only teachers that are getting laid off are government teachers, not private school teachers. In fact, they continue to add. I know of a school personally, I have a personal involvement in a K through 8 school that their enrollment has increased 80% in 3 years. People want out of the government schools. A lot of them do. But the teacher layoffs, they are saying, well, it's primarily because the pandemic money is coming to an end. Which to me, this is coming from Yahoo News. Yahoo News, frankly, is written by a bunch of Yahoos. But they cover the story. It's a narrative. They aren't journalists or propagandists. Just make that clear. But I'd like to read what the enemy says. I really do. But anyway, they contend that it's because the pandemic money has run out that they're going to have to lay off teachers. Well, why? They weren't laying off teachers before they got this bogus stimulus in pandemic money. What did they need the pandemic money for anyway? Why, to sit home on their duffs and do distance learning and sit there on a computer and watch, send out programs and do one half the work and still collect all pay and full benefits? I'm not against the teachers per se. I'm certainly against the union. I'm against government-controlled practically anything these days. When you got a good government, it's great to have the government in charge of the military, the police, the investigative agencies, and so forth. When the government's bad, they're bad all over. Like the Dave Clark Five. Remember that song? I'm glad all over. Well, this is bad all over. The flip side. No. Not quite. That dates me, Dave Clark Five. But anyway, so they say it's because the pandemic money's running out. Well, they didn't need the pandemic money to just hum along on taxpayer dollars. So they took the pandemic money, spent money that they didn't have or earn or necessarily need, and now are bellyaching because there's not enough money. Then the article goes on to cite the real reason, though they don't say it's the real reason. They just bury it in the text of the Yahoo narrative. Declining enrollments. And I got to tell you, with the mad influx of illegals by the millions into this country, which we'll get to later, How could the enrollment in government schools be declining if it weren't for a mass exodus out of the government schools? Like there's a mass exodus out of California. California is on track to lose yet another Electoral College vote. But they've got it covered. They know how to take care of it. And this is what they're doing. You can get the illegal driver's license like you can there in Illinois and some other states. And when you get an illegal alien driver's license, you're not a citizen. You're not even close to it. You don't even have a Visa card or a Visa. I'm sorry, Visa card. I got a Visa card, but not a Visa. Well, what do they do? These states are stuck on the idea of getting illegal immigrants to vote. So they have voter registration as part of getting the same, it's on the same application as getting your driver's license. Fully intentional that the Democrats want hordes of people to vote Democrat that are illegal. The Democrats don't give a rat's rear end about this country except that portion which they can control. So you're wondering, Rob, where is the good news in this story? The good news is what was buried, the massively declining enrollment in government schools. All the people who've got brains and guts and are listening to the news, get the heck out of the government schools. Don't offer up your children as a human sacrifice to a woke agenda, a woke altar. Don't do that. Or if you do, you can answer to God. They end up all screwed up. Wonder where they got screwed up. Just march down the hall, turn in the bathroom, take a look in the mirror. You're it. If you could, and you say, oh, I can't afford it. Yes, you can. I couldn't afford it, and I did it. I did it when I made $18,000 a year. That was it. And I found a way to do it, to get them the education they needed, because it was more important than a summer vacation. It was more important than a new SUV. It was more important than adding a fourth bedroom to the house. It was more important than a whole bunch of stuff that those kids get a godly education, or I would be responsible. I would be responsible for then maybe the next generation, if you had ungodly children that then teach their children, your grandchildren, ungodly things. And now you just got this pipeline headed to hell. And I will tell you, Deuteronomy 6 makes it very, 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 very clear. The responsibility is on the parents to have those children deep into the Word of God. Does that absolutely, unequivocally guarantee their spiritual success? No. You aren't God. Neither am I. But you can do all you can do. And all of us can do more. Because this is why the country is going to hell in a handbasket. Is through the government education system. So to me, it's great news that there are teacher layoffs coming, and I hope they're massive layoffs, because notwithstanding the generic growth in our population, plus all the illegal alien kids, put that together with those people who have awakened and smelled the coffee, smelled the roses, whatever, I can't even think of the word here. Whatever, what? Help me out. Somebody tell me. I don't have a call in line here. That you use, whatever description you use, the fact of the matter is there must be a tremendous decline when you've got multiple reasons for people getting out of Dodge with their kids. Great news. It was the one thing that 3.5 years ago I said, probably was the earliest ones to say it. There's one silver lining for COVID, and that is the kids are getting out of a government school, and now the parents get to watch and see what the kids are actually having stuffed down their throats by demonic-inspired teacher associations. Well, okay. I guess we beat that up, right? Okay, so we are moving along here. We are in a time that I think is worse than pre-Civil War America. The issues there were different, and it wasn't all about slavery, folks. It was actually an issue of states' rights, of which slavery was an issue. And I'm not here to defend slavery, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of states' rights. That issue was settled about slavery as it should have been. And we've got the amendments to put that in place. Why people 150 years later think they're still slaves is beyond me. But a lot of whining going on there, in my opinion. A lot of excuses. But if you're getting free cell phones from Barack Obama for helping his campaign, I get it. I understand that it's hard to sometimes separate from a plantation mentality that's been embedded in family lines for a couple hundred years. I get that. But the fact of the matter is we are worse morally in this country than we have ever been. Slavery was, you know, it's not good. I get it. Though I've read things about people who lived in that time, and you have to put yourself in that time, were also incredibly gracious and godly and considered. They didn't call them slaves. They called them servants, like the Bible does, because that's how they treated them. I had a piece of land in Tennessee, which I no longer have, but I read the will of the guy who got the grant from the U.S. government in 1798 or something. I read his will. And as real, he had, I don't remember the name, two beloved servants / slaves. And he said, these two women have served me faithfully, and upon my death, they go free. They do not get handed down to my children. They are free, and they didn't go free empty-handed. We don't ever hear about that because they always want to make this black versus white, white versus black, and it's the left. Satan is a divide and conquer instigator. He does it well. He loves hatred. He loves divisiveness because that's what gives him great room of opportunity to accomplish his will. But when you get down to just how ugly this country has become, morally, it's far worse collectively than the sins that this country was besieged with in the middle of the 19th century. And I don't apologize for that comment. We didn't have abortion back then. We didn't have kids getting slaughtered on the birthing stool in some places after they were born. We didn't have queer this and queer that and sodomy on demand and queer marriage and tranny stuff. We didn't have the Bible basically outlawed. Well, there's a whole bunch of things that cumulatively render this country morally corrupt at a level of which it has never, ever seen. And sitting at the top is Joey, brain dead skunk in the middle of the road, corn pop, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden. Who, if you want to just catch this latest thing, he has come out and said that he is exerting executive privilege over the interview that he had with the special counsel, Mr. Herr, to prevent Congress from hearing and having an audio tape of what he said. Well, number one, he didn't make any sense. Number two, he's bananas. Number three, he's demon-possessed. Number four, he took the Lord's name in vain countless times. GD this, GD that, that's all he knows. All that came out from him was a putrid stream of corruption and evil. And guess what? You know, I'm a lawyer. We talk about the Fifth Amendment. Well, when do you take the Fifth Amendment? When you got something to hide, right? Trump doesn't get executive privilege for anything, and Biden claims executive privilege for everything. Everything he doesn't want you to hear. Because you'd see how what a liar he is, how corrupt he is, how evil he is, how demonically possessed he is. Barack Obama must be thrilled because his mentee, Joey, is doing really well in the footsteps and in the extension of BO's fundamental transformation of society campaign that he launched with his election. And then you've got people who, this executive privilege. Then we got Georgie Stephanopoulos, the one who had to remind, I've got the video. When Obama said, well, nobody's, you know, had an issue with my being Muslim. And Stephanopoulos had to correct him. He said, you mean Christian? And Obama said, oh, yeah, I meant Christian. goodness sakes, liar, liar, pants on fire, I could wish. But anyway, Stephanopoulos has come out now because the left can no longer deny that there's a deep state. They cannot. All of the pro-life prosecutions against pro-lifers, and the DOJ doesn't have the guts, doesn't have the morals to prosecute somebody's the activities taken against the pregnancy centers, which are protected by the same act, but they don't protect the pregnancy centers from arson, from vandalism, from protest, from harassment. No, they only protect the ones that want to go in and slaughter their children and offer them up as a sacrifice to Molech and Ashtoreth. That's what they're up to. That tells you who they work for, right? So everybody knows there's a deep state. It is now undeniable. The ones who are unelected, the ones that work like termites day in and day out for the destruction of the building in which they inhabit. But Georgi Stephanopoulos, Georgi Porgy, he said the deep state is real. And he said the deep state is occupied by the real patriots. It's real patriots that are suppressing freedom of speech. It's real patriots who are harassing people's exercise of their First Amendment and Second Amendment. It's a real patriots who are actually apolitical. Well, hey, Georgi Porgy, if they were apolitical, why do they always come down on one side of every issue? What a liar. But he sits there on ABC, formerly known as the Al Barak channel. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The Al Barak channel. And spews lies. Well, I read this piece. This is so distressing. I just can't even go into it because it'll blow up the whole rest of the program, and I got some other things to say. But it comes from a relatively new organization. I love them. Called Mammoth Nation. Mammoth Nation out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I love their creed. I love what they support. They haven't written anything that I disagree with yet that I could then also, of course, do my best to vet and have been able to. But they have said that Biden's plan of now wanting to import and fly in Palestinians, 90% of who voted for Hamas, gosh, do not miss this week's program, Israel, Hamas, and Ziklag. It'll blow you away on the Sunday morning program. But this is, Mammoth Nation calls it the Death to America crowd, is the one that Biden wants to fly and import. Just bring in all these people who absolutely hate us, who scream death to America, who tear up our campuses, which I'm sort of glad they have. I am glad about all the unrest on the campuses because I know how sick and putrid these so-called Ivy League schools, they aren't Ivy League schools, they're poison Ivy League schools. What they spew, and they've been spewing it for a long time, it has needed to bubble over. It's needed to blow up. It has needed to explode in a way that it's undeniable now. Except that if we bring in the 400,000 Palestinians or whatever, I don't know how many he's talking about. He's just going to fly them in under cover of night. Probably put them in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Because they got people there that actually don't like Joe. People there who actually have brains. They have morals. And they have guts. None of which he has. I would like to read this article in its entirety, but I'm going to tell you to go read it. You will get more reading it than what I could share in the time that I have on this program and why we are in absolute deep doo-doo. It's Mammoth Nation. Look it up. The article is welcoming the, quote, death to America, end quote, crowd to our country. And if nothing else, it'll have you wanting to finally go out and get the gun or guns I've been telling you to get in ammo and training to so you can safely use, safely store, and legally operate your firearm when you need to protect you, your family, your crops, your home, whatever it is that these raging maniacs, also known as Hamas, but without that name, coming to America, to ruin our country because Joey is on assignment from hell. And we know this even further because it's come out that the United States is now withholding, quote, sensitive intelligence, end quote, on Hamas from Israel. And Biden came out and said that the administration is willing to share this valuable information regarding the whereabouts of Hamas's leadership and the tunnels. He's willing to share that and if, in fact, what? Israel agrees to not go ahead with its military operation in Rafah. Well, I've got to ask, of course, this point is beyond Biden's brain. Does he have one? I don't know. Maybe you'll find it if you did a rectal exam. But if, in fact, I mean, think this through. The Biden administration will share key intelligence with Israel about the whereabouts of Hamas's leadership in Gaza if Israel agrees not to go ahead with its military operation in Rafah. Well, let me ask you, if they're not going to go ahead with their military operation in Rafah, what's the point? What's the point if you're not able to actually use the intel that you've been given? We'll give you this intel if you promise not to use it. You know, I don't know. They go on to say here, I got to wrap this thing up because these pieces are exhausting me today. Quote here, the Biden administration is working urgently to stave off a full-scale Israeli invasion of Rafah and is offering Israel valuable assistance if it holds back, including sensitive intelligence to help the Israeli military pinpoint the location of Hamas's leaders and find the group's hidden tunnels. This, according to four different people familiar with U.S. intelligence. I'm going to just say something here. Military intelligence, as they used to say, is sort of an oxymoron. I'm not going to say that. But I will say that the U.S. having intelligence to offer to Israel to help it doesn't even make sense. It's Israel who has the intelligence here, not the U.S. And as Netanyahu said just yesterday, he said, you know, hey, you know, I got disagreements with President Biden, but if he doesn't want to help us, you know, forget it. We'll go it alone. Isn't that something? He actually doesn't really need the U.S. Now, they've needed some bombs and other things of that sort. But he says the United States here, they're seeking to delay the operation, concerned that Israel's not doing enough to ensure the safety of over 1 million Gazans sheltered in Rafah should a full-scale invasion move forward. Well, then, turn over the hostages, Hamas. But they don't want it to end. They have come out. They've made it very clear. The guy, I can't remember what imam it is, not my mom, not your mom, some imam. But anyway, sharing this valuable information, well, we got people all over this country wanting Hamas to not turn over the hostages because that might bring the war to an end. They don't want the war to end. They want Israel destroyed. So in addition to the intelligence, American officials have also offered to help provide Israel with assistance for Rafah evacuees, including thousands of shelters so Israel can build tent cities, and to help with the construction of delivery systems for food, water, and medicine. Yeah, right. So Biden gets Israel to keep open a border point for emergency aid of food, water, and medicine through what it was, a Kibber Shalom, or I can't remember exactly what it was. So Israel does that. But Hamas doesn't want the help. They want to have a gripe. They want to be able to complain. They don't have a complaint if Israel's actually accommodating emergency assistance, which the people don't get. Hamas takes it, uses it, sells it, what have you. So what do? They fired a whole bunch of military rockets on that Kibber Shalom and killed some IDF people. That's part. Just add that to to the hundreds and frankly the thousands that are part of the body bag brigade trailing behind Joe Biden. They want the war to continue. And Israel wants it to end. Isn't that something? The only way they're going to get it to end is simply wipe out Gaza, retake possession, never turn it back over again. And the Palestinians, of which there's a gazillion places in the Middle East, they don't get to come to the U.S. But I'm telling you, you got till November, you got the rest of this year to basically secure the arms and the ammo and the training that you need to be able to exercise a proper right and God-given right and constitutional right of self-defense when this country blows up. Last week's program, Is Civil War in the Air? One of the most listened to programs that we have ever had. Because you just kind of look, this is just a clip this morning of headlines. Illegal alien charged in death of three-month-old child who had been deported under Donald Trump. Joe Biden increases immigrant population by 6.6 million. Nearly 2 years of American births. Kamala Harris drops F-bombs while giving advice. Kick that effing door down. This is our classy vice president. Goodness, how can you have two people with no brains, no guts, and no morals occupying? Well, it's by design. They're easily controlled by Barack Obama going back up to George Soros. Who knows, maybe Klaus Schwab. Where does it end? Serial offender accused of stabbing New York City tourist in the chest. This has gotten ridiculous. And I'm going to say something that some people are not going to like, but it's just the truth. There hasn't been one person who has been arbitrarily stabbed in this series of stabbings who's been black. They've all been non-white, primarily white. And every stabber has been black. I've seen all the videos. It's just sort of like, and we've got this this conflict. We have, on one hand, a certain legitimization of all sorts of evil perpetrated by some black people, given license to it because everything happened with BLM, Antifa, during the pandemic and everything that got burned. Nobody got held accountable. But yes, let's throw this lady who, this nice, peaceful protester at an abortion clinic in, who's getting 57 months in prison for protesting an abortion clinic. On the other hand, we have a record number of blacks that are supporting Trump. It's unbelievable. And so as this dichotomy occurs, and the dichotomy occurs in the Hispanic population as well as the white population, my prediction that if we have civil war, which I do think that we will have, maybe it's just going to be a revolution, I'm not sure, but if we have it, you're going to find on the wrong side a whole bunch of whites, Hispanics, and blacks. And on the right side, you're going to find a whole bunch of whites, Hispanics, and blacks. You see, the divide, as much as the left wants to make it and works overtime, triple time, quadruple time to make it race. Everybody's racist. The smart, the intelligent, the God-given spirits of those, of many of those in the black and Hispanic communities know that it's a pile of crapola from the left. I mean, the Trump rally in New Jersey, what, 100,000 people, the biggest political rally in the history of the state of New Jersey, maybe the biggest political rally in the history of the United States. Possibly, I don't know. I don't know what the number, how you gauge those numbers, and I don't know that they're things in the past they've actually gauged. But it's huge. Then there's Joey Biden. He doesn't even have anybody standing near him to buy ice cream for. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
These days there's dudes getting facials, manicured, waxed, and Botoxed, with deep spray on tans and creamy lotion-y hands. You can't grip a tackle box. Yeah, with all these men lining up to get lured, it's heading out to be feminized. But I don't highlight my hair, I've still got a pair. Yeah, honey, I'm still a guy. All my eyebrows ain't plucked, there's a gun in my truck. Oh, thank God, I'm still.
Ah, thank you, Brad Paisley. You know what? I don't know if he's still singing that song in concerts. I sure hope he is. Hope he hasn't lost his guts to do it. But moving to the lighter side for just a minute, because I know you need some mental relief after that first half hour. I get it. So do I. And sometimes where I want relief, do I go to an aspirin bottle? No. I first of all go to the Bible. And then when there needs to be a comedic lift, I go to the Babylon Bee. And we've all heard about RFK admitting that there's a dead worm in his brain, which actually had eaten part of his brain. Not the kind of thing, RFK, that I would think you would want to admit anytime, but certainly while you're in a political campaign. So the Babylon Bee ran a piece that said the dead worm found in RFK Jr.'s brain is already polling higher than Biden in 11 states. And I guess, oh, you guys down there in San Diego, you are the best. And then this other piece they came out, they said there are 12 women who've already come forward alleging that they were sexually assaulted by whoever Donald Trump eventually picks as his vice presidential candidate. You see, there are, whether it's Google and others wanted to shut down the Babylon Bee. Why? Because this political satire is so effective. And why? Because it is rooted in truth. The left does not like a flashlight shining underneath their nasty refrigerator to see what is down there. It's awful. Well, okay. I'm going to have to move on here to something that I was, I'm skipping through a whole bunch of stuff. But I'm going to get to a couple of election things. And then I want to finish up with something that is going to come as no surprise, other than the fact that what I'm going to share with you has now been medically and scientifically established. But first, Carrie Lake is out. Carrie Lake was doing a thing just the other night, just a block from her house. And I don't know why I wasn't invited, probably because I knew that I didn't have enough money to contribute. But I do my contribution. This radio program is one of the things for all the money that we just kind of fork out of our pocket, which I appreciate greatly, the support that does come in, but it has never met budget. I make that up. It's why I still work as an attorney, so some guy's golf, I spent it on radio. So she was virtually next door, but I didn't go over there. But she's out. She is not. She went off Trump's list with the 1864 abortion law here in Arizona, which she was crazy for it, which was fine. I supported it when it came out. But when Trump spoke strongly against it, saying it should be switched, she did, within 48 hours, the biggest flip-flop of my entire life. And that cost her. Would I vote for as a Senate candidate? Absolutely, in a heartbeat. But she took herself out. Christy Noem took herself out with a shotgun. Is there a wrong putting down an animal? No. I had to put down my horse. Horse colicked. Horse was in pain. I mean, I didn't shoot the horse. I had a guy come out and put the horse down. But whether you shot the horse or whether you put the horse down medically, if it has the same impact on the animal, meaning that they're basically dead instantly, well, I mean, you do what you have to do. We talk about the humane thing here, but it wasn't a politically smart move for her to be talking about animals she's had to shoot because they were bad, most notably her dog. I'm not against dogs. Don't read that into it. I never had one. I'm from a family of nine. My dad grew up on a farm. My mother grew up in the city. Every time my dad said, let's get a dog, my mother would say, let's have another kid. My mother won. So anyway, those two are out. But and so who does this bring up? Well, you got J.D. Vance. You've got Byron Donalds, which is, I think, would be a fabulous pick. He keeps rising in my estimation. And I think I'm down to two people. Ramaswamy was probably my first pick. But if he doesn't take Ramaswamy, I think I'm there with Byron Donalds. I just think he would, either one of them would be fabulous. And they would be fabulous for different reasons, but they'd be nice compliments to Trump, yet compliments in a supportive way. They'd be a hard-to-beat ticket, and which brings me to the last point, is that there isn't any possible way. When I read the number of blacks that now support Donald Trump, when I read the number of Hispanics that are here legally support Donald Trump, there is no way in the world, absent some screwball event in the next 5 months, but if the election were tomorrow, there is no possible way Trump could lose except by extreme, over-the-top voter fraud in some way, shape, or form. Maybe Biden triggers what looks like, and the media helps him, looks like a war, World War III, and for safety purposes or whatever, some bogus pandemic, another one, they shut down the electoral process for all these made-up reasons, and all the left-wing media will support it, and we don't have an election. We're just stuck with Joey Corn Pop and his handlers, his puppeteers, which dictate his every move. So if that happens, it's over. I will simply tell you, if the Democrats win, by hook or by crook. Those are the only two ways, hook and crook. They can't do it legitimately. It's done. This country is done, and we are headed to secession and or civil war, probably both. I don't see a way out of it, unless all the good people in this country just fall over and succumb to what is truly the Nazi in charge, which will be Joe Biden. Now, I have a question here, though. It's a rhetorical question. But if everything that Donald Trump has supposedly said, challenging the elections, challenging the vote count, challenging the people who brought in the boxes of ballots at 3 a.m. after the polls were shut down, all the incontrovertible truth that the 2020 election was stolen, and it was, If Trump's saying those things and speaking out on those things constitute election interference, and here's the question. Why isn't any one or more of Joey Corn Pop's 247 lies constitute election interference? When we know for an absolute fact that inflation was 1.4% when Biden took office, and Biden comes out and says that inflation is down, and it's down from what it was when Trump left office because it was 9%. Nobody with half a brain could subscribe to that. Nobody, everybody just ignores just because they just know it's another lie. Why does not every single one of those lies constitute election interference? Good question, isn't it? The answer is it only depends upon who's allegedly interfering. The people we hate, the conservatives that are hated by the left-wing media, Hollywood, corporate business world this day, we're going to be closing out our accounts at Chase Bank, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, because I can't go in there without seeing a great big picture of two lesbians showing off a wedding ring they got hanging on the wall. Screw you guys. I have no use for that kind of a bank. And we've told four different people, and they're shocked. They're shocked. Well, it's Rob. You do know that a gay marriage is legal. My response, it's legal for me to screw my neighbor's wife. So what is your point? What is your point? There's a whole bunch of, if what you're saying is that which is legal is also moral, you are the worst of the worst. Though we're closing out, we're going to vote with our feet. They can't believe. Not that we have much there, but I serve as a fiduciary for various trusts, of which there's a lot there. They can just wave it goodbye. They won't care. But they need to be told on the way out. And everybody I stopped doing business with, stocks I have sold because that company is 100% woke. Corporate America is stuck on sin through its greed and love of money. The love of money has caused them to turn a blind eye to sin at all levels. So whether it's academia, loosely so-called, we're talking about the poison Ivy League schools, all the way down to middle schools, whether it's corporate America, whether it is Hollywood, and increasingly the sports world and the NFL and its love affair with sodomy, my goodness sakes, the amount that the NFL time and money that they spend supporting Black Lives Matter and queer crap will cause you to just say, forget it, NFL, I'm not doing it anymore. It's all against us, but that's not unusual. If you look back in time, Satan knows his days are numbered. But this is an interesting thing about Satan. Though he knows his days are numbered, he doesn't give up. And so, lest I run out of time for a piece that I promised to you, I find it interesting when science actually, and those who understand science have also the guts to speak correctly about what they find and not yield their scientific findings to political narratives. This new research, psychological experts have identified verifiably, empirically, that left-wing leaders are psychopathic. I want to read this piece. A great author, give him all the credit because I'm going to read these excerpts. David Kapelian, a hero of mine. I love this guy, everything he writes. He just said, he wrote here, the Biden administration, which insists Donald Trump's reelection would be bad for America, enthusiastically supports amputating the breasts and sexual organs of thousands of troubled children. They are obsessed with ushering as many millions of illegal aliens, including terrorists, fentanyl smugglers, MS-13 gang members, child sex traffickers, and legions of surly military-age Chinese men, many as possible, into America, and just to pick one of many examples of bureaucratic insanity. Recently reflected in the FAA rule that says that U.S. airlines employ more people, including pilots, with, quote, severe intellectual and psychiatric problems, end quote. Now, That has me wanting to drive cross country. But continuing on, he said, and I did a story on that a couple of months ago. It was unbelievable. The FAA and its wokeness goes incredibly stupid. And we have had, what, we've just had more and more little airline incidents. I don't want to, I can't go off there. I'm going to run out of time if I go off in that direction. David goes on to say here that it's increasingly clear that many of America's current leaders are, to put it plainly, stark raving mad. Rather, what follows here is a brief but serious look at the proposition that America's current leaders are genuinely insane and in a clinically diagnosable way. This is about rampant borderline personality disorder, malignant narcissistic personality disorder, and other scary-sounding conditions whose clinical symptom pictures perfectly match many of today's leaders. It's illuminating to briefly explore how current research in psychiatry, a field ironically dominated largely by the left, nevertheless has concluded that leftist radicals and leaders are more often than not certifiably crazy. For example, in a groundbreaking study published in March of last year entitled Understanding Left-Wing Authoritarianism, authors Dr. Anne Crispens and Dr. Alexander Bertrams found that left-wing extremism is closely associated with psychopathic tendencies. Narcissistic individuals and those with psychopathic tendencies are more likely to strongly endorse left-wing anti-hierarchical aggression. I got that out. Stated simply, left-wing psychopaths pretend to care about social justice and equality, but in reality are just feeding their massive, ego-focused lust for power, glory, and revenge, so say these authors. Psychiatrist Brad Lyles explains that one way of understanding the increasingly outlandish beliefs and behaviors of the left is through the lens of borderline personality disorder. Psychological projection from which the left suffers hardens a patient's mere belief or suspicion that the other person or organization is bad into a conviction that the other person is bad. In particular, the patient knows the other person is bad. On the contrary, political projection, accusing the other guy of what you are doing, is merely a strategy. A prominent example would include the 3 years that Democrats accused President Trump of colluding with the Russians, while they themselves were in fact the ones colluding with the Russians. And we've covered that before. Back to the quote, with psychological projection, there are no gray areas. The other person is all bad. There is no circumstance in which a person or a political party could be understood to possess a combination of both good and bad features. This all bad belief structure is what the late Pulitzer Prize winning columnist and trained psychiatrist Charles Krauthammer, who I'm going to interject here, I dearly miss, was getting at when he famously wrote, quote, to understand the workings of American politics, you have to understand this fundamental law. Conservatives think liberals are stupid. Liberals think conservatives are evil. This conservatives are evil belief that underlies the left's continual and deranged comparison of President Donald Trump with Adolf Hitler, hands down the most reviled genocidal mass murder in world history, is amazing. For the Democrat politicians, including Joe Biden, as well as the mainstream media, have continually likened Trump to Hitler since before he was even elected, continuing, of course, to today. Yet, if Trump really is another Hitler, where exactly are all of his Hitler-like policies and Hitler-like actions? After all, the man was president of the United States and leader of the free world for 4 extremely important and successful years. So what are all these evil practices that justify the comparison. Seeing as Biden's base has been hands down the worst administration in American history, the playbook governing left-wing power politics demands, simply demands, that Trump must be Hitler, period, with no proof, or else the Democrats will lose power. And that is not an option for them. Interestingly, it's not just the left's leaders who are mentally ill. Gallup pollsters conducted an extensive study involving more than 4,000 interviews conducted over the course of the last 4 years, which concluded that Republicans had significantly better mental health than Democrats. Likewise, a SurveyMonkey survey commissioned a few years ago by the left-wing news, BuzzFeed, with its left-wing, that authored it, concluded that Democrats suffered significantly more mental illness than Republicans. In fact, Democrats were found to be twice as likely, over 100% more likely, to have been diagnosed with a mental disorder than Republicans in every single category, from anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, to bipolar disorder, to schizophrenia and narcissistic personality disorder. There you go. What we have known spiritually, we've talked about ad nauseum probably, has now been empirically established by experts, many of whom lean hard left. Now, did we need to have this empirical support for this? No, no. We can just go to the Bible. Really? Yes. You can go to Romans chapter 1, and you can see the descent of man, the decline of reason, where it says that those who have, they've fallen prey to different things, but they no longer want to retain the knowledge of God in their conscience. And when you don't want to retain the knowledge of God in your conscience, God being good, then guess what? All you can do is accuse everybody who loves God of being simply bad, simply evil. You don't need any justification. You don't need any rationale. You don't need any reasoning. You don't need any critical thinking skills. You just act upon the fact that you have to somehow salvage your personal self-image and self-worth, as wicked and evil as that person may be, by simply concluding that everybody else whose actions, behaviors, what they write, what they speak, that convicts them of sin, that they are really, truly the bad ones. So what else does it say in Romans 1 that sort of concludes this matter? It says, because of this, interestingly, the men have changed from loving women to loving other men. Yeah. And it says, even the women left the natural use of their body, burning in their lust one for another. And then it goes on for the conclusion that God has given them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind. This is about as bad as it gets. God's just given, hey, if that's what you want, that's what you got. These are the people that include that everything that is righteous is evil, and that everything that's evil is righteous, calling darkness light and light darkness, evil good and good evil. There is no rationale there. This is why you could have a conversation with a left-wing person and there is absolutely no amount of proof that will convince most of them, not all, but most of them, of the error of their ways. It ends up becoming a God necessary job for which we have to work in tandem with God. We're the mouthpiece. We're the messengers I don't want to ever shy away from the truth, ever, no matter what the consequences are. Compromise, in fact, my book is a four-letter word, especially when it comes to non-negotiable things, of which there are many. But to those living through these days and times, for those of you who are young parents or grandparents with kids that are so impressionable, probably nothing is more critical than that they would know the Word of God and have the willingness, the guts, and the trust in God that they speak that word with confidence and boldness, come what may. Like John and Peter, when they were told to no longer preach in Jerusalem, did they pray for a way of escape? No, 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 no. They asked God to be yet bolder. Make us bolder in that which we speak. God bless you. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.